Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
From the Points Guy, this is your host, Zach Honig. Welcome to another episode of Miles Away. So today on Miles Away, I am sitting down with TPG's global news editor, Emily McNutt.
Hey,
welcome
Zach.
Back, Emily.
Thanks.
What does a global news editor do exactly?
It does everything that it sounds like.
So all around the globe. Where are you based these days?
I'm based in London, a short hop away from my original home of New York and TPG HQ.
Yeah. How's London treating you so far?
It's not bad so far. Weather's been decent.
Yeah, it's a little cloudy and rainy this time of year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but I think that's all year.
Welcome back to the studio.
Thank you.
Today we're talking about one of my favorite destinations. I feel like I say this every single time. One of my another favorite destination, but yeah, this is definitely a favorite, New Zealand. And yes. The reason we're talking about New Zealand is because when we launched Miles Away, I actually asked our listeners and readers to submit suggestions on Instagram. And New Zealand was near the top. So we had Tokyo, we had Argentina, but New Zealand was definitely in the top five.
Yeah.
And you've been a few times.
Yeah, for good reason. It's in the top five, I would say.
For good reason. So where have you visited in New Zealand?
So I think I'm one of the rare few that have been to New Zealand a couple times, two times, and I've only ever been to Auckland, which is kind of a shame, but it's also great because I love the city itself. It's one of my favorite cities in the world, just in the sense that there's so much to do within the city. Now, of course, there's so much to explore in New Zealand as a whole, but I think Auckland is a good starting point, especially if you only have, you know, a short time to stay in New Zealand.
So back in January, we actually saw an incredible deal from Chicago to Sydney.
Yeah.
And you can actually bake in an Auckland stopover. I imagine did that.
And it was also available to Auckland. It was like $1,200.
Oh,
as
wow.
Opposed to 14.
I didn't even realize that. Okay. Yeah. So there are probably people that are continuing on to Sydney that had booked that deal because it went all the way through the end of the schedule, I think, in November.
Yeah.
And so
it's a pretty sweet deal.
How long would you recommend, you know, someone stop in Auckland? And what did you do there? What, you know, do you want to do on future trips?
Yeah. I mean, the first time that I went to Auckland was actually on a mistake fare like that. It wasn't a business class. It was an economy and it was via Qantas.
So you actually flew past New Zealand and then kind of backtracked over.
Yeah, kind of came back. And I paid like $250 for the round trip fare from San Francisco. Yeah, 2015, I think that was.
If I recall, I think we paid as much for your flight to San Francisco to connect to that.
Yeah, exactly. My flight positioning flight SFO was more than the flight to New Zealand. but I booked it, and New Zealand had always been on my bucket list. Wanted to check it off. So I went, and I spent a week there, which I found to be quite a good amount of time, especially on a first visit. I will say that Auckland, once you're there, it can be, once you've seen everything, it can be a little bit hard to find something to do every day, especially if you're there in the winter, like I was.
And just to clarify, the winter, what months are winter months in New
Zealand? Winter
months
are the exact opposite of our winter months.
So it's like the dead.
Yeah, so I went in August, totally naive to the fact that this was their winter. Now, their winter doesn't snow. It's not 30 degrees, but it is about 55, 60. You'll wear like a windbreaker.
Okay, but not the best time for some of the, you know, adventure sports
exactly
that you associate with New Zealand.
But that being said, there is still a lot open and there's still a lot to see, which is why I love it so much. And even the second time that I went back, I didn't learn my lesson the first time and I went back again in the winter. And I actually loved it just as much. So I guess that says something about New Zealand in the winter.
I think it also says something about Emily because we talked about Scandinavia. And Scandinavia is one of your favorite places to visit
yeah
in the winter.
Yes.
Where you don't get all that much sunlight. So.
No. I guess I'm a cold-blooded person.
I visited Auckland. I've been there a couple times as well, but I was there most recently in March, which I've got to do the math. What is it?
So I'm that's sure like that's a good time to go weather-wise.
Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't too hot. It definitely wasn't too cold, but I only spent, I think, one or two nights. So both of the times I've been to Auckland, it's been on pretty short stays, which didn't necessarily give me a lot of time to explore. But what kinds of things have you done there in the city?
I mean, I think the highlight, especially for wine drinkers, the highlight has to be Waiheke Island. It's about a 30-minute boat ride off the coast, right of downtown Auckland. You're in the harbor, you hop to the dockyard, and you grab a ferry. They run about every half an hour during the winter. And you hop on the ferry and you go right to Waiheke Island, which is an island comprised of
it's like exclusively wineries.
Yeah,
much, right?
It's wineries, and there's one. Last time I went, there was one brewery that had just opened to be kind of the fish out of water, so to speak, on the island. But essentially, what it is you can make your way around the island and try out the different wines that are native not only to that island, which is actually Sara wine. It's a red wine. It's kind of mild, I believe. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the wineries there also have wineries in Marlborough, which is the wine region.
That's what we associate with New Zealand.
Exactly. So they bring in a lot of their wines, their varieties from their other locations. So it's really nice to be able to get a taste of what's local, but also what these kind of more established wineries have to offer in a more local environment down there.
So I've done two Waiheke tours, and both times you're kind of on your own to get there. And so you take the ferry. It's really straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And then both times it was different companies, but someone was waiting for us with a little minivan on the other side. And we did a organized tour. Is that what you did
too? No, I did it all on my own. I like to do explore on my own a little bit. So this time, or both times I went actually, and one of the biggest tips that I can give to anyone going is once you get off the ferry, everyone kind of goes straight to their rides. Either they have a tour booked or they hop on the public bus, which stops right there as well. But if you get off and you walk directly to the right, there's a nice little trail that goes around all of the cliffs. So you get a really gorgeous view of the bay. There's often whales. I saw a whale last time I was there in the little bay. And no one does that hike. And it's really stunning.
I definitely did not do that hike. I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, it's really stunning. You just follow a little trail. I haven't seen one single person in the two times that I've done it. And then there's a nice break-off point where you can kind of follow a road. You do have to walk a bit, so bring walking shoes. And it takes you right to one of my favorite wineries, which is Cable Bay.
I know Cable Bay. I think, do they have Cable Bay here in the U.S.? Do they export?
Imported from...
Maybe I'm thinking of Cloudy Bay or something.
Yeah, okay. Cloudy Bay is also New Zealand.
Okay, my mistake.
Yeah, but... Cable Bay, it's a great winery, and you can grab some lunch there if you're, exhausted after the very mild hike. It's a few stairs and maybe some mud if it rained the day before, but it's gorgeous, and I highly recommend it.
Did you take any other day trips when you were in Auckland, or were you in the city the rest of the time?
No, the cool thing about Auckland that I really enjoy is that it's so spread out. So you can drive 30 miles west, and you're still in Auckland City. Yet here you are on the west coast of New Zealand, and there are stunning beaches and huge figures. Piha Beach is the one that I went to, and I think it's the most famous. It's a black sand beach. It's stunningly gorgeous. In the summer, so I'm told, you can't find a place to sit because it's filled with surfers and swimmers and just kind of people hanging out. When I went in the winter, it was still insanely, you have these volcanic structures that are just in the middle of the water in the beach. It's otherworldly.
So who would you recommend Auckland for? Is it if groups of friends, families, anyone? Does it make sense for a layover?
I don't think a layover would necessarily give you enough time to see the extent of Auckland. I think groups of friends, I went with my cousin actually, who's my age, the first time I went, and we had a great time exploring. There's a great craft brew scene in Auckland City, and then you have the wineries too, which is nice if you're growing with a group of friends. For families, I think it could also be really, really nice because it's easy to get to, relatively speaking. And there are some really nice hikes that are accessible too. Mount Eden is just outside. It's still technically Auckland City, but it's a dormant volcano that you can hike up. It's about a 40-minute hike, very mild. And you kind of get a really, really nice view of the city.
Okay, so say I had 3 days. What would you focus on?
I would spend one day to rent a car, drive to the West Coast, go to Piha. I'd spend one day in Waiheke Island, which is really easy to do, to spend a day there. And then I think one day I would spend in the city walking around. There's plenty to see.
There's a lot of seafood. There's a lot of, and it's not terribly expensive. The U.S. dollar against the New Zealand dollar is very strong.
It'll get you far, for sure.
So we're going to dig into the costs and the budget and all that fun stuff, and of course points and miles in just a moment. But we have to take a quick break. So stay tuned for more from Auckland. And so now is our points and miles segment, so to speak, of Miles Away. And we are going to focus on flights first. And so you actually have quite a few options when it comes to traveling to Auckland, especially from the West Coast. So let's run through them. I know that Air New Zealand is obviously, that's the flag carrier of New Zealand.
As you might expect.
And a Star Alliance airline. So you can actually use United Miles, Aeroplan. You've quite a few options when it comes to flying Air New Zealand. And they have flights. They just launched a Dreamliner 77-9 flight from Chicago. I know there's a Houston-Auckland flight as well.
I flew that Houston-Auckland flight.
So how long is that?
I think it's about 14 hours, and I flew the Sky Couch, which is an interesting option.
Tell us about the Sky Couch.
Essentially what they do is they take three economy seats. The leg folds up, so you have essentially a bed. I found it to be quite comfortable, but I'm 5'7", someone who's even remotely taller than me would probably find it difficult. But it's great for families traveling together, because I did see some families, like a mother with her two children, on the Sky Couch was ideal.
Okay.
Your kids arrive well-rested, but then again, it's not the best for everyone.
But it's cheaper than premium economy, I'm guessing, or maybe comparable to that?
It's pretty comparable, yeah.
The challenge there, I guess, you can't use miles for it. But if you use miles for the flight, could you upgrade to the Sky Couch?
I don't believe so.
Okay, so you got to pay cash for a Sky Couch there. But what you can use miles for is business class, and occasionally we'll see pretty good availability. I actually flew Air New Zealand from London to Los Angeles, so that's a Fifth Freedom flight that they have with the 777-300ER. And that one doesn't have all that much availability. I guess I kind of got lucky. But that aircraft continues on to Auckland. So that's actually the fastest way to get from the UK to New Zealand is through the west coast of the US. And so you can buy that flight just from LA to London, Los Angeles, and then continue on. A lot of the passengers were flying all the way on. There's also a San Francisco-Auckland flight.
With ANZ.
ANZ, yes, Air New Zealand. And then there is a United flight, which is a somewhat recent addition, I think, from San Francisco, maybe about a year or two ago. So it goes back and forth between a 777-300 with the new Polaris seats and an older one. But I have seen some upgrade availability. Award availability, though, is really tight on that route.
Yeah, even during the winter, I've done some searching. Obviously, I like Auckland during the winter, as we found out, and it's still really hard to come by.
But, you might find availability to Australia. So if you pair, a flight to Australia with a trip to New Zealand, spend a couple days in Sydney or Melbourne, Melbourne. that could make some sense. And then you could book, coming back from Auckland, for example.
Right.
And then I know American also has, they've got Los Angeles to Auckland with a Dreamliner. Although we know AA award space is pretty much impossible to come by these days.
Good luck.
So you're best off probably using your miles for Qantas and then continuing on from Australia there. The one thing that really surprised me about New Zealand in general, not just Auckland, is that there's a very limited selection of chain hotels.
Yeah, that's very true.
I don't think there were any Marriott hotels. There were some Hiltons.
Yeah.
There were no Starwood properties, so back before the merger. No Hyatts even.
That's soon to change.
Yeah. There's a Park Hyatt opening, right?
Well, it's been a long time coming, and there's still no set opening date, unfortunately. The Park Hyatt Auckland looks incredible. There's supposedly a moat inside the property.
Of course. Is this Auckland's first moat hotel?
Yeah, I think so. And it's right on the waterfront, which is really nice because there's a lot to do right on the waterfront. Unfortunately, there's still no set opening date.
Uh-huh.
But hopefully mid-2019. Originally, it was supposed to open in 2017. So it's really been a long time
coming. Okay, and hopefully it stays within that Category 7. I know Hyatt recently added Category 8, and they've said that they're not going to put any of their own properties in that Category 8 tier. But
fingers crossed.
We'll see. But as far as where you've stayed, I know that IHG has a pretty big presence in New Zealand. And I had used a lot of my IHG points, maybe all of my IHG points, actually, in my stay. And a mix of Hilton as well. But Crowne Plaza,
yeah,
I think, has a pretty...
Yeah, I stayed at the Crowne Plaza Auckland, and... I've stayed at 5 hotels in Auckland, and the Crowne Plaza was my least favorite.
So that's unusual. You've been there twice. You've stayed at 5 hotels. So
I guess that's what happens when you work for TPG. It's review as many hotels as you can.
Hotel
in
hopping.
One trip. Yeah, exactly.
So which was your favorite points hotel?
I would say the Hilton Auckland, definitely. It's right on the water, like the Park Hyatt is or will be. They're both really conveniently located. The Hilton Auckland has a really nautical... aesthetic to it, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And if you're there during the right time, you can see dolphins in the bay. It's right next to the ferry station where you can catch the ferry to Waiheke. And for 60,000 points a night, it's not too bad.
Yeah, that's not bad. Okay.
Yeah, and it's you can really get... I got upgraded as a gold to a corner room. So you have a balcony with sweeping views of the city and the water. So I really liked it there.
One very nice thing about Hilton is that if you're a gold, you also get complimentary breakfast, which is a rarity for that kind of low to mid-tier.
Yeah.
And you can get gold status pretty easily if you have an Amex Platinum card. Right.
You get that's what I had at the time. I got instant gold, and I've since... upgraded to the Hilton Aspire.
Oh,
so now
you're an
diamond.
Aspirational traveler.
So I wonder what that upgrade would look like now, but I really liked my stay at the Hilton Auckland.
Okay, so plenty of points hotels now, especially if you have some IHG or Hilton points.
Yeah, and if the Sofitel Auckland's also really nice, not one of the major point programs, but if you're looking to kind of use cash for a stay, that's also a great option.
I think I stayed in an apartment once. I think Airbnb, there's quite a few very affordable options in the city as well.
I could imagine, yeah.
So that's definitely something to consider in New Zealand in general, just because, you know, there is kind of still a shortage of points hotels, especially when it comes to Marriott and Hyatt. And even Hilton. There's some Hiltons here and there, but not a ton of properties.
Yeah.
So what's next for you on your next New Zealand trip?
Oh, as much as I love Auckland, I'm hoping to see more of it.
Okay.
I'm hoping to see more of New Zealand.
I very highly recommend the South Island.
Yes.
And so Queenstown, kind of making Queenstown your base, and then you can explore. You can do a whole bunch of day trips from there.
Yeah.
Rent a car and stay. You can stay in the Hilton. I actually stayed in the Hilton in Queenstown. I think it was also 60,000 points per night. And a great deal because the cash rates there are like $500 a night.
Are they? Wow.
Yeah, and they have a very good breakfast that I got for free as a gold.
Oh, nice.
Now a diamond member, because I'm also a Hilton Aspire cardholder.
Wow.
Yes, yes. But that's kind of what I'd recommend if you had kind of a shorter stay. You know, spend maybe 3 days or so in Queenstown and then go out to the Milford Sound.
Yeah.
I actually had signed up for a helicopter tour using my Chase Ultimate Rewards points.
Oh, nice.
And it was a lot of points, but I had some to burn. And then I got a call that morning that the weather had turned and that they actually canceled it. So that does happen sometimes. So we ended up driving 4 hours out to Milford Sound. But it was worth it. It was kind of like a Norwegian fjord tour. So it's a similar experience.
Love
just
it.
In the Southern Hemisphere.
Well, thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah.
And there's go check it out.
There's a lot of flights. You don't have to fly into Auckland if you're flying between Australia and New Zealand.
So yeah, Sydney.
There's Sydney to Queenstown. There's Christchurch also on the South Island. So if you want to start in Queenstown and work your way up.
Mm-hmm.
But we're definitely going to need to dig a lot more into New Zealand in a future Miles Away episode for sure.
There's so much to see.
So much to see. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Emily.
Thanks, Zach.
Really appreciate it. Have a great time back in London.
Thank you.
I will have to visit soon, and then we'll have you on to talk about London.
Yay. Can't wait.
That's all for this episode of Miles Away. Thanks again to Emily McNutt, TPG's global news editor. Again, I am your host, Zach Honig, and this episode was produced by Caroline Chagrin with editing by Ryan Gabos. Our theme music is by Alex Schiff. If you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends, and we'll see you back here next Wednesday.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.